Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Jai.
Translation. Thus, it is concluded that the Lord's energies are inconceivable. No one can estimate them by mental speculation or by word jugglery. Purport. A question may be raised as to why a devotee should refrain from identifying an actor, although he knows definitely that the Lord is the ultimate doer of everything. Knowing the ultimate doer, one should not pose himself as ignorant of the actual performer. To answer this doubt, the reply is that the Lord is also not directly responsible, for everything is done by His deputed Maya Shakti, or material energy. The material energy is always provoking doubts about the supreme authority of the Lord. The personality of religion knew perfectly well that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Supreme Lord, and still he was put into doubts by the deluding energy, and thus he refrained from mentioning the Supreme Cause. This doubtfulness was due to contamination of both Kali and the material energy. The whole atmosphere of the age of Kali is magnified by the deluding energy, and the proportion of measurement is inexplicable. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Miti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshattarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, I would like to ask the permission of all the Vaishnavas to start with the Bhagavatam class. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Slightly more. Needs to be closed more, the curtains. Yeah, I know, but you can use a pin or something, or just close it properly. Hare Krishna, everyone. So thank you for the opportunity to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like to seek the permission and blessings of all the Vaishnavas here. Vanchakalpa turupyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnavrindaki Jai. We can see in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam what actually opulence means. Opulence in a sense of knowledge and understanding. The modern world is very much in turmoil. The modern world is very much in big, big difficulties. And the reason is that they are not possessing the real knowledge and art of causality. So we can see in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam the discussion between the Dharma, the Bull personified, and Maharaj Parikshit. And in this small section, in this conversation, what they're actually discussing is causality. The activity performed and the resultant activity received. And why this is an art? Because if you simply understand the causality presented in the scriptures, in the shastras, what happens, it frees you from the from the doubts and frees you from the mental speculation and mental jugglery, and also frees you from being entrapped by the variety of impossibilities and options. What happened? Why it happened? Why it happened to me? So in this section of Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj, he possesses this knowledge. Simultaneously, the Dharma personified, he also possesses the knowledge. But yet two great personalities, they have a discussion about why certain things happen in their life, specifically in the life of the bull. How was it possible that the bull, which is a very pure animal, was beaten and harassed by this Kali personified? So it is very interesting, Prabhupada, in the beginning of this purport, he's saying, a question may be raised as to why a devotee should refrain from identifying an actor, although he knows definitely that the Lord is the ultimate doer of everything. So the question is, as Prabhupada was mentioning here, why should a devotee not point fingers? Right? If I know that Daniel did something to me, why should I not say that? Daniel, it's your fault. If someone messes up something, why you should not point fingers that it is the fault of this person? So there are two options. Yes, you can do that, and no, you should not do it. Yes, in a sense that you identify the actor, but you are aloof from developing certain emotions, certain negative emotions in the most times towards that perpetrator, towards that actor. So what does it mean on a practical level? So devotee, as was mentioned by many devotees, he doesn't struggle with the identity of the agent of his karma, right? All of us, we have certain karma, we have certain karmic reactions. There are certain activities which will happen to us in a due course of time, good or bad. But ultimately, devotee doesn't really holds grudges against his own karma in whatever form may come, sat yoni janmasu, good or bad. So devotee is actually aloof of all of these karmic reactions. And many times what happens to us is that even if bad things happen, we always take it as a token of our karma. We take it to a certain degree that Krishna actually took big, massive percentage of whatever bad karma I received, just for my own benefit. And sometimes these so-called negative karmic reactions are actually very much for our benefit, right? Let's kind of dive into Bhagavatam, very famous pastime, all of you know it, the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. We can identify the first initial perpetrator of the activities which triggered the chain of reactions which ultimately lead to self-realization of Dhruva Maharaj. And even more important than that, he received the shelter of a spiritual master. So let's see in this specific pastime who is actually the perpetrator. So initially, Dhruva Maharaj wanted to sit on the lap of his father, right? So you can say the activity was the desire of some kind of a recognition, desire for some kind of opulence, desire to be in relationship with someone who's in power. So this may be the initial kind of a catalyst of all these events. Okay, it's a simple desire, right? You want to spend time with your father. But then, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Suruchi or Suniti? Which one was the father of Dhruva Maharaj? Was it Suruchi? Suniti, thank you. So Suniti was the mother of Dhruva Maharaj. And Suruchi was the one who stepped into the whole activity. So she was basically the obstacle of fulfilling the desires. So Dhruva Maharaj wanted to fulfill his desires, and Suruchi, she was the obstacle. So we may ask another question. Who was actually the perpetrator of this specific event? Was it the desire of Dhruva Maharaj? Or was it even stronger desire of Mother Suruchi? So what happened afterwards? Because the king was somehow or another intimately strongly connected with Mother Suruchi rather than Suniti, the mother of Dhruva Maharaj, the desire of the king was inclined to fulfill the desires of Mother Suruchi. So again, a third party entered the game, right? The king. So all these desires accumulated together, and the result was that Dhruva Maharaj, as a strong Kshatriya, with this strong Kshatriya spirit, he said, I will retire to forest. But again, there's another perpetrator or another instruction which came, another Upadesh. This Upadesh came actually from Suruchi, right? The mother of brother of Dhruva Maharaj. And she said, if your desire is strong enough, if you desire to be a king, you need to perform tapasya, a lot of renunciation. If you want to take birth from my womb, only then you can become a king. Only then, possibly, you can sit on the lap of your father. So this is an instruction, right? But Dhruva Maharaj was like, you know, you are not really that person which I'm going to receive the instruction from, right? So then he went to the mother, and he took shelter of the mother, of his mother, Suniti. And what did Mother Suniti said? She repeated the same thing as Mother Suruchi. She repeated the same thing. He said, it is a fact. If you have a great desire to sit on the lap of your father, unfortunately the situation is as it is. You have to perform tapasya. And the best location for that is in the forest. Because all the great personalities are saying that that's the location where Vishnu resides. Obviously, we understand that Vishnu resides everywhere. But they connected Vishnu and tapasya with the forest because forest is a mode of goodness, and because many yogis are taking shelter of places like in the mode of goodness, specifically the forest. So what did Dhruva Maharaj did? He received the instruction from his mother, which was the same as his stepmother or the mother of his brother, Suruchi. He received the instruction and he went to the forest. So we may ask a question again and repeat it as Prabhupada was saying. Why should we refrain from identifying the, in this connotation, negative perpetrator, someone who brings miseries upon us? Because if you stay aloof of identifying and pointing fingers on that specific perpetrator, what you're actually doing is, as is mentioned in this specific purport, you are taking shelter of a different kind of energy. Mayaya nunam, agochara, inconceivable. So we know there are many different types of energies, and one of those energies is the internal energy and the external energy. The external energy is the one who covers us and actually gives us impetus to act more in connection with the material desires and the material senses and the material activities. But the other type of energy actually induces us to take shelter more of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we do not point fingers, if we do not take shelter of the cause and effect of the material energy, it leaves us only with another choice. That is, take shelter of the higher energy and accept whatever comes in our way. So one of the very difficulties in the life of a devotee is actually acceptance. Accepting whatever happens in our life and see that with the higher perspective. Investing more in the jnana chakshush, in the vision of the scriptures. So the world is suffering, coming back to the point, the world is suffering based on lack of this jnana chakshush. The world is suffering based on lack of understanding the causality, the art of causality. Right? In the modern society, and it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, I have this amount of enemies, I have this amount of friends, this amount of money I have, this is the ability I possess, this is the activity which I need to perform to get this sort of result. All of these are material calculations. But a devotee, he understands the inconceivable aspect of karma. He doesn't dive deep into his own karma, but what he does, he takes shelter of para prakriti. So there's apara and para. Apara is the lower nature, para is the higher nature. So in any specific situation that happens in our life, we always have a choice. It's a para choice or apara choice. Para or apara. The choice is always yours. So one of the other points mentioned in Prabhupada Purport is that this doubtfulness was due to the contamination of both Kali and material energy. In this age of Kali, there are many different factors which are very strongly pushing us down, which are very strongly inducing our consciousness to actually take shelter of this material energy. That's why the stronger survives, right? The more higher you are, the more power you have, the more you are in control. And this desire to control is actually why we are here in the first place in the material world. Then Prabhupada continues, the whole atmosphere of the age of Kali is magnified by the deluding energy, and the proportion of measurement is inexplicable. So this is a very interesting sentence. Let me read it again. The whole atmosphere of the age of Kali is magnified by the deluding energy, and the proportion of measurement is inexplicable. So the question may be raised. The whole atmosphere of the age of Kali is magnified. What are those aspects of age of Kali which are magnifying the deluding energy? And we can open it up. Try to give short sentence answers. What do you think are the magnifying aspects of the age of Kali which are magnifying the delusion in this age of Kali? Right? Does it make sense? Mother Jagat Priya, ladies. Sorry.
Breaking the four regulative principles.
Breaking the four regulative principles, yes. Mother Harika.
Lies, deceit, cheating.
Cheating propensities,
commodification.
Yes. Try to be as specific as you can. Thank you, yes. All correct. Prajna Prabhu.
Desire.
Desires.
Our desire.
Our desires. Okay. Material desires, I assume. Both. Okay.
Not respecting God's laws.
Could you repeat that, please?
Not respecting God's laws.
Not respecting the laws of God. Okay, thank you.
Having imperfect senses.
Having imperfect senses, yes. Vishal Prabhu.
Association.
Association, yes. Any other points? Media. Okay. So all of these aspects which you mentioned, what they're actually doing, they're creating sort of propaganda, and they're creating shackles which bound you more and more strictly in these modes of material nature. So what happens is that the age of Kali has certain agents. The age of Kali has certain tools. The age of Kali has certain weapons which are sanctified, which are sanctioned by the deluding energy, right? So what is actually the reason of activities of this deluding energy, of this Maya Shakti? Maya Shakti as such is a devotee. Mentioned many times before, Maya Shakti, she is a Vaishnavi. But she has a specific role, specific mission, right? Like sometimes you move in the beginning days, those you remember, you move into the Bhakta house, right? In the Bhakta house, and then you are under the surveillance of, most of the time, Paramakaruna Prabhu, Niskinchana Chaitanya Prabhu, and different Vaishnavas before that. So what they do is, ultimately, if you have a desire, let's say move to the Brahmachari ashram, they will test you. They will test how much resolve you have to go back home to the Brahmachari ashram. I'm just kidding. Right? What is your determination to have some higher occupation, to have higher residence? Right? So this is the mission of Maya Shakti. She is there only to test you. Because imagine now, at this point, at this state of consciousness, you will be in Godhead. Imagine that. With whatever activities, whatever desires you have, whatever consciousness you have, you will be in the spiritual world. Right? Still with our propensities to enjoy, still with our material desires, still with being contaminated by all these factors which you mentioned, which are presented by the age of Kali. Imagine with all of these you will be in the spiritual realm. What would you do? You will create a chaos. You will create a disharmony. What you will create is, you will try that all this spiritual realm should be here for my enjoyment. That's what you will create. So Maya Shakti, she's like a, you know, like a bouncer, right? She's like, no, not you. You're not ready. You can't go in. So why? You know, I have all these qualifications. Look at me. I'm wearing these cool orange robes. I'm wearing tilak on my forehead, right? I even put all the other parts of tilak on my body today. And I was like, why don't you let me in? He said, these are all superficial aspects. I'm seeing deeper within you. I see all your desires. I see all your inclinations. So no. That party in the spiritual world is not for people like you. At least not now, not yet. Go on further, go deeper, dig deeper. See that there is something else within you which is still connecting you to this material world. So this is the duty of Maya Shakti. But what happens when you are actually a devotee? This Maya Shakti, she changes. She changes the, how do you call it, opus memorandum, how do you say, like the way it operates. Operandi, anyway, sorry, I can't pronounce it. With your correct knowledge, with your correct understanding of the way that this Maya Shakti operates, rather than she will not humiliate you, but she will teach you. She will not destroy you, but she will help you. She will not put you down, but she will help you go up. So this is how the energies are working. So literally, it's just switching the plugs, right? Same energy, but Krishna just switches the plugs. Just like, what may be bad for you is actually good. What you think is good is actually bad. So for a devotee, he doesn't point fingers for a reason. He doesn't point fingers, and that only reason is that this is all for my, I should be benefited by all these activities which are happening to me in my life. Right? In devotional life, we ask, may I be humble, please? Krishna, can you make me humble? Oh, goodness. This is a very, very difficult desire, very difficult wish to have. Are you truly sure you want to be humble? Because Krishna will use the different shaktis, the different energies to make you humble. And then when that activity of you becoming humble happens, what will be your reaction? Will be the reaction of acceptance, or will be the reaction of kind of a standing up, being against it, being against the situation. So this is how the devotee reacts. The material energy is always provoking doubts about the supreme authority of the Lord, right? One of the most times when I was doubting this whole process was actually on book distribution, on Sankirtan. And the same time, simultaneously, the result of that doubt was actually that Krishna, in the end, he said, no, I'm actually here with you. So, for those, if you distributed books, that you can see that how Krishna actually seemingly withdraw himself from your life. From that specific occasion, right? I was there on the books. It was raining again, beautiful, wonderful English weather. People were not stopping. Everything was kind of difficult. And then I was questioning Krishna, you know what? I'm here because of you. I'm here because of your pure devotee, because it's his instruction. Ultimately, it's your desire. So I'm here because of you. And what you do, you're not helping. You most likely even forget about me. So what I did, I started becoming angry with Krishna. I was like, look, I'm here because I want to follow your instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. You said that those who preach the knowledge about you are the most dearest to you. But this is not the way you react with dear people, right? I mean, if someone is dear to me, I want to help him, I want to be with him, I want to, you know, share experiences with him. This is not the way you treat dear people. So why are you treating me like this? So literally, there was anger. But then what happened? What Krishna did is that he taught me a lesson. This was in Liverpool. And it was just like random lady came to me. A random, completely random. I just turned and I saw her. And she just said to me, "You have to change the way you look at things. You have to change the way you present yourself." I was just like, "What?" And then she said, "You need to see things differently." And then she just walked away. And I couldn't say anything. I was just struck. And for a few minutes, I was standing in the middle of the central kind of a path where, you know, people are walking. And I was just like struck. Like, what just happened? And then I took some time off. I just had to sit down. And then I start contemplating that Krishna has many different mediums to teach you. Krishna has many different ways to deliver a message. Sometimes we beg to be better. Sometimes we beg to know the answers. But sometimes Krishna has a different path for you. And the real question is, do you have the vision? Do you have the intelligence to actually see that this is the information, this is the message from Krishna? Right? So we're asking for humility. And when that situation comes, then we are angry. We are not developing humility. We are developing anger. So we can see in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the cow was beaten. The bull was beaten. Kali was performing this horrendous activity on these innocent animals. Maharaj Parikshit entered this whole situation, and he started protecting the bull. He started protecting the cow. He was fighting with the Kali personified. So we can ask, what was the reason of all these activities? What was the reason that the cow and the bull was beaten? You know what was the reason? This situation, at this point, this time. This Bhagavatam is the reason. And again, what is the reason? The reason is that this message is delivered to you. The message of art of causality is delivered to you. That was the reason. Krishna is using different mediums, different actors, different situations to deliver the message. Srimad Bhagavatam is the message. So the bull and the cow and the Kali and Parikshit Maharaj were all actors which are acting for you. For you, in a sense, to deliver a specific message so you can learn from it and go back to Godhead. Simple as it is. So this is the reason of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna, he has his pastimes. Krishna has his fun. But same time, Krishna has his ways to deliver. Paritranayam sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. So what does it mean? Paritranaya sadhunam. What does it mean to protect? Does it mean to always to come with the sword, to come with the mace, to come with the claws, to come with the tusks? Does it only mean that? Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishi Gornitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. You can see Ram Lakshman, they had bows and arrows with them. These are the weapons of protection. But I will tell you one thing. This book, this Srimad Bhagavatam, this is a weapon of protection. That's what it means, Paritranaya Sadhunam. To protect the Vaishnavas, to protect the innocent is to study, read, present, contemplate, and share Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what it actually means. So all these activities which are happening, all these sections of Srimad Bhagavatam which are taking place are for our protection. Right? How could be Dharma personified, kind of a bewildered? Someone who understands the all ins and outs of all the situations happening in the world. The someone who judges your activities, Dharma personified, is bewildered. So we identified how Kali or the age of Kali is magnifying this deluding energy. Many different things were mentioned. Mother Jagat Priya, she mentioned, if you don't follow the four regulative principles, what happens? The deluding energy will grab you. So when Prabhupada established the four regulative principles, there's a bigger picture behind them. When you enter ashram life, when you entered whatever ashram you may be situated in, ashram means a shelter. But shelter is not for free. It never is. Shelter means, do you truly want to be sheltered? If you truly want to be sheltered, then you will be following these principles of regulative principles of freedom. That's what Prabhupada says, right? Regulative principles of freedom. And there's an interesting aspect to it. How can you put in one sentence regulation and freedom? Right? Regulation and freedom. Right? You putting some regulations, some obstacles in my freedom. So what does it mean, right? When someone says, I'm free, I can do whatever I want. I can go wherever I want. I can do whatever I want. This is true freedom. Are you sure about that? So the age of Kali has a massive grasp on this modern world. The age of Kali is grabbing all the aspects of our lives. The deluding energy has a great, massive kind of impact on our life. But what do? You take shelter of regulative principles. You take shelter of ashram. And in this way, you're going to be free. And what's that higher freedom? That higher freedom means you can go back to Godhead. And the Maya Shakti, which was before a difficulty, will now become, she will open the doors to the spiritual world and say, please, now you can enter. Now you have the ticket. Now you have all the qualities necessary for you to enter the spiritual world. Before that, you will create a chaos. Now, please come. So we can learn in this specific section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastime of Kali, pastime of Parikshit Maharaj, pastime of bull, pastime of mother cow, that art of causality is the reason why we are still here. Because we have to learn it. You have to accept it, and you have to also see it. Interesting pastime. In the temple once, devotees been disturbed, and this is recollected in Prabhupada memories. And you know what Prabhupada did? Prabhupada entered the temple, he observed the situation, and then he understood the result, why actually people are disturbed, why devotees are disturbed. And you know what he did? He asked for the cook. He said, bring me the cook. He observed the cook, he eaten the prasadam of the cook, and he said, he's the reason. The consciousness of this cook is the reason why there's a strife, why there are difficulties in this temple. Change him. So pure devotee has a vision. A pure devotee has understand the art of causality. He understands that all these manifestations, these gross manifestations within us, there's a cause to it. There's a reason why we're acting in a certain way. What is that reason? Many different reasons. So whatever gross we're manifesting in our life, whatever activities we perform, we should be 100% sure there's a thought behind it. There's a will behind it. There's an idea behind it. So there's a proverb, you know, I think Chinese proverb, and many of you definitely heard it before, because it's quite popular, right? Be aware of your thoughts, because they will become your words. Be careful of your words, because they will become your activities. Be careful of your activities, because they will become your habits. And be careful of your habits, because they will determine what kind of a life you will have. Right? It is said, in this age of Kali, you will be only receiving the results of the activities if you actually perform them physically. Only if you physically perform activity, you will receive the reaction. The karma will be due to that activity which you perform. But devotees understand that we will go even subtler, we will go even deeper than that. Where's that activity comes from? It comes from desire. It comes from a thought. It comes from a will. It comes from somewhere which is subtle, and it manifests to a gross level. So a devotee has a vision. Devotees can see, and this is the mission of Guru. This is how Guru acts. You may make a subtle movement, something so small like just chucking a book, closing a book. And Guru said, this is disrespect. You are disrespectful. Where is it coming from? I think I mentioned this before. Once a devotee haven't really offered obeisances to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, this is the beginning of his fall down. Small thing. Small thing. Are you sure it's a small thing? So there is a cause and there is an effect in this material world. And it's only up to you if you understand it and if you live by it and if you implement it in your life. So this pastime is the pastime of contemplation of causality. Where is it coming from? Is it the reason material nature? Is the reason God? Am I in the reason? Who's the reason of me being punished? Right? So think about it next time. Whatever happens to you in your life, what is the reason behind it? And as a devotee, we are obliged to go deeper. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Hare Krishna. If there are any points, questions, feedback, please.
Hare Krishna. Antaranga Prabhu, thank you for a wonderful class. Loads of points to meditate upon and consider, starting from causality to Dhruvamara's story. And I just want to mention sort of the last things that you mentioned about causality in terms of our behavior around many aspects of the temple. Simple things like these mats. When we take these mats, beloved mats, and then we just drop them on the floor making loud noises, that could be considered as an offense. Many, many things like that. Slamming of the door, for example. I want to meditate upon what you started your class with, and that is on Dhruva Maharaj's pastime. And you mentioned about the three personalities that could be the initial cause of the activities that led to Dhruva Maharaj's ultimate liberation. Is the king, and maybe the aspect of perhaps the favoritism of the king to the wife, and that nature of favoritism is something that, you know, even in that age was considered as a big offense. As we individuals, when we have our relationships with each other, even in the ashram, sometimes we gravitate more towards certain individuals than others, that could lead to favoritism, and therefore it could result into many, many sort of causality actions or results later on. Would you want to maybe comment on how we can be more conscious of how our behavior is towards each other, that we sort of be mindful of that negation of the favoritism?
Yes, there is even causality behind that. Imagine that you gravitate towards a person because he embodies certain character which you like. And the question may be raised, why do you like that specific character? Why do you like that specific trait? Is it because you desire to have it? Is it because in one point in your life something influenced you to such a degree that this specific trait of a character creates a great value in your life? So there's always a step behind it. There's something which we want, but there's something subtle, and there's even something subtle behind that. So yes, we gravitate towards people because we value certain characters within them. And like for instance, when Srila Prabhupada started preaching in West, the personality has been not always gravitating towards Prabhupada because the knowledge he possessed, but because the character he possessed, right? Because he was humble, because he was a gentleman, he was sweet, he was a great servant, he presented philosophy in a very wonderful way. So people have been gravitating towards Prabhupada because what person he was, not because what message he was carrying. I mean, it's kind of a similar, the message and the person in this specific instance is the same on a similar platform, but you get the point. So we gravitate towards people because we value the character in them and we want to embody that character. That's the aspect of association is important. Show me the five personalities which you associate with the most, and I will tell you who you are. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or points?
I read in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, commenting, unless one can give up lamentation and material desires, he cannot understand about the soul. Mm. So, like you said, maintaining material desires is an impediment. We have to do everything for Krishna. And then it becomes easier. Mm.
It's a very good point. Lamentation comes from not understanding, again, why things are happening. So lack of knowledge, agyan. Because you're only lamenting what you cannot control. If you understand that you are not in control what you do lament, there's nothing to lament for. Thank you. Yen Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Anjanga Prabhu. Thank you so much for that wonderful class. It was just based on when you were talking about Maya and the illusory energy and how she because she's a devotee, she's a bhakti, so she's trying to serve the Lord by doing these particular things to us. Mahatma Prabhu just released a video, I think 2 days ago or a day ago, and the video is entitled, "When Maya Beats You, It Means That Krishna Loves You." And I was just reflecting on that based on the situation you're talking about, like with you in, when you were like chastising Krishna. Because I just had an instance where a few days ago I went to the altar and I was standing there and I was like, Krishna, I'm suffering with all these things right now. I'm being affected. And you're just standing there smiling, you know, and you're not doing something about it. Do something about it. And then the video came up, this video. And so and he was highlighting that because we're taken to devotional service. It said that as soon as we start chanting the names of Krishna, we're going back home. And Maya is a devotee, so she's rendering service and she's helping us. Because at times you look at Maya in such a morbid way. I mean, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says Maya is a witch, so it looks at you in a morbid way. But then Mama Prabhu was presenting this avenue of looking at, and you mentioned it as well in your class, which I really loved, that Maya is trying to teach us the things that we need to avoid so we can focus on Krishna more. Mm. The how to calculate our situation so we don't land in the same traps that have been putting us in that illusory mood throughout, so that we can be able to focus more on Krishna. So it's really a nice video, 4 minutes. I suggest everyone can watch it. It's a powerful, but it's really supporting that point. But thank you. Thank you for
that point.
Writing it so nicely, or saying it so nicely. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, there was an artist who was asked, he just had like a piece of marble in front of him. And he said, how do you do this? How do you create such a wonderful masterpiece? So all I do, I just take a chisel and a small hammer and I take everything out, which is just not the statue which I have in my head. I just take everything out, which is not that what I desire. Let's say he desires, build an elephant. So I just take everything which is not an elephant. What's the difficulty? So that's what Maya does. She just takes everything away, which is not purely Krishna conscious. Prajna Prabhu.
There's two examples of devotees that are here. There's one of Mother Kalangana. She was on the process of leaving her body, and Radhanath Swami came to see us, Holiness Radhanath Swami. And when she saw him, she immediately jumped. That showed her inner mood and her understanding within her. You know, immediately here is my superior. I must bow down to him. And the other one was Jivapati, the pujari here for 45 years, something like that. And he was asked by somebody who was doing the transfers, Jiva Prabhu, could you, because you have regular sort of offerings, don't you? Oh, can you save me this and that? And he said to this person who was in training, actually, what do you think this is, a cafe? You see, we start to understand, you know, from the great souls, what is to do and what is not to do. That's for certain. So these are very interesting sort of reflections that I've been told about in past times. So anyway, what a scene. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that. Vaishnavis, any points, reflections, questions?
Hare Krishna, Babaji. Thank you for an amazing class. I just have one question. You said that, yes, the Lord is the ultimate doer of everything, but can that be a little bit dangerous? Because sometimes that can lead to inaction when devotees take that statement for granted.
Knowing the ultimate doer, one should not pose himself as ignorant of the actual performer. So, the answer to this doubt, the reply is that the Lord is also not directly responsible, for everything is done by his deputed Maya Shakti or material energy. Which means that he creates the law, but he's not responsible for you acting within that law. Just like if you, I don't know, rob a bank and then you go to Queen, that it's your fault. She's like, what do you mean? Well, you created the law, I break it, but it's your fault because you created the law. It doesn't make sense. So the queen kind of sustains the law, but it's your own choice to break it, just like was your choice to be in this material world, like it's our choice. He created the law, but it's your choice to follow it or not follow it.
Thank you.
Goranga. Amala Purana Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai.